I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, TV's home improvement sensation, Trading Spaces, retools with Paige Davis. That's right, she's back. We'll find out what's in the works to remodel the show, and we'll hear what you've been saying to us in our weekly Back Talk segment. But first, our weekly political chat. The race for the White House is well underway, and while many voters are still deciding which candidate they are for, we've noticed something else. There are plenty of voters who are firm about who they are against. Republican frontrunner John McCain and Democrat Hillary Clinton seem to have borne the brunt of vitriol from inside and outside their parties. So we decided to ask, why do some people seem to love to hate them? Joining me is Janice Krause, director of the Beverly LaHaye Institute. It's a think tank run by Concerned Women for America. It's a conservative organization. Robin Morgan, co-founder of the Women's Media Center and author of many, many books about politics and feminism. And also Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Happy to, Michelle.
Janice, I want to start with you and with John McCain. Among conservative talking heads this year, Glenn Beck, Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, it's almost as if they've decided that that's part of their job to hate on him. Let's listen to a clip from the Rush Limbaugh program.
It is pro-choicers that are voting for McCain. I mean, that's who liberals are. Independents and moderates, that's who they are. They're scared to death to be pro-life because they'd be identified with those cranky Christians. While McCain's out there saying he's pro-life, he's getting the pro-choice vote.
Janice, what do you ever do to them?
Well, McCain does have an 80% conservative voting record, but he's never been a movement conservative. He has taken some really odd positions throughout his career and been pretty insensitive to the conservatives. So,
give an example.
Well, McCain-Feingold, for instance, McCain-Kennedy, the Keating Five, there are a lot of things that he's done. He's opposed the Bush tax cut. He's for global warming, Kyoto, closing Gitmo, supporting amnesty for illegal aliens. Just a lot of different issues over his career that he's taken positions that were opposed to the conservative movement.
But on national security issues, doesn't he, as a career military officer, prisoner of war, doesn't he have the moral authority at least to express himself on those views?
Oh, no question about that. He very definitely does. And, you know, as I said, he's got an 80% lifetime conservative record. So on many of the issues, he's very pro-life, for instance. But all of those seem to take second place to his campaign finance fixation.
But why? Why? I guess what I'm trying to understand is why does that occasion such, I don't know, is hatred too strong a word? It seems...
I think
not
it comes
to me.
Down to trust.
Mm-hmm.
All the studies about presidential elections say trust is the bottom line. The public has to trust the person that they're going to go in that booth and pull the lever for. And I don't think there's a level of trust for McCain yet that Republicans feel comfortable with him. They just don't think when push comes to shove that he's going to really hang in there for conservative positions.
Let's talk about the Democratic side. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. And here's a clip from MSNBC's host, Chris Matthews.
Let's not forget, and I'll be brutal, the reason she's a U.S. senator, the reason she's a candidate for president, the reason she may be a front runner is her husband messed around.
Yeah, but
that's how she got to be senator from New York. We keep forgetting it. She didn't win there on her merit. She won because everybody felt, my God, this woman stood up under humiliation.
And I want to point out that Chris Matthews has since apologized for these comments and said he may have been too hard on Senator Clinton. But Robin Morgan, you wrote a long piece decrying what you call the toxic viciousness that you believe is being directed at Senator Clinton. What do you think the Hillary hating is about?
Well, first of all, Michelle, I mean, he didn't just apologize, Chris Matthews, by himself. He didn't have a seizure of ethics. It was the Women's Media Center and the Women's Movement and Media Matters in a consortium sort of that forced him to apologize by going to MSNBC and NBC. And he still continues to have all-white male, pale male, as I call them, panels pontificating on the issues of race and gender, which is bizarre. But the piece that you're talking about, Goodbye to All That, too, it was a cumulative effect. It was not only what the media had been doing, and I speak as a member of the media. I'm not just a book writer. I'm a journalist as well. Just an absolutely unchallenged, until the Women's Media Center came in to do it, the sexism. But also the sort of the general hatred. You know, she has moved so effectively to work across the aisle that I think she has mitigated a lot of moderate Republicans, certainly in my own state. She's one of my senators upstate who feel, gee, no, she's very pragmatic. She you know, if she can find a tiny soupçon of agreement, she'll build from there. What that leaves, then, are the real Hillary haters.
And what's that about?
Oh, it's sexism. It comes down very simply. There's an element of Clinton hating. But some of this is so toxic. I mean, T-shirts that say, if only Hillary had married O.J., a nutcracker doll with metal spikes between splayed thighs.
And now, you've seen these?
If that was a tap-dancing blackface doll, we would be righteously outraged, and they would not dare to sell it in airports. So some of this is really sociopathic women-hating, and I think the reason that that women have been responding across ethnicity and age is outrage at this. I'm also very tired of the zeitgeist pretending acting as if the entire African American community was male and that all women were white.
Okay. Andy Cohen, your group crunches data about these kinds of things. What are the polls telling us about who does not like Senator Clinton and Senator McCain? And I'm just wondering, mainly, are these just very vocal, well-placed figures who are articulating these points of view, or are there some broader issues that are need to be brought out and are being seen in the polls?
Let's take them one at a time, Michelle, and I'm getting a lot of feedback, so this could be a little difficult to talk to you. But in any event, the dislike of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama by the opponents of each is very understated. I'm sorry, I can't do this interview.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're having some trouble.
I'm going to have them call me back.
I'll have them call you back, and I'll talk a little bit about what I see in some of the research you've just presented to us. For example, Pew's latest poll shows that among all Democrats, that Hillary Clinton has 80% favorability, and that Obama supporters view Clinton favorably, and that Clinton supporters view Obama favorably. So it does seem to be that we're sort of within the party, she's generally well received. It is on the Republican side, 75% say that John McCain has an admirable character, that he's honest and sort of trustworthy. But the Republicans are split evenly over whether he is a true conservative sort of or not. So the question, I think, you know, Robin Morgan, would be, does, if you're saying this is sort of a broader sociological sort of issue, mm-hmm. wouldn't it seem that there would be some sort of broader resistance to Hillary Clinton?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm very encouraged by Andrew's figures. But what it means then is that the minority. I mean, I'm sure the party will unite, and the Democrats in general will unite. Anything, not to have another 15 seconds of the continuation of George Bush policies of any sort. But this was a historic chance. I mean, I got so excited as somebody who'd cut her political eye teeth in the civil rights movement that an African American of either gender and that a woman of any ethnicity were running. This was to celebrate. And it's so interesting how this has got turned against. We have made some progress, nowhere near enough in terms of consciousness about racism in this country. But it certainly was a wake-up call to the fact that, if anything, we may have slid back about sex.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking about who hates Hillary Clinton and who hates John McCain and why and if it matters. And to talk about this, we're joined by author, journalist, and a feminist, Robin Morgan, Janice Krauss from the Concerned Women for America, and we hope to have Andy Cohut back, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Robin, I have to ask you, is it that Hillary Clinton is a woman, or is it the woman she is? And hold on, I want to play a short clip from a woman who called into the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and this is what she said.
At this point, if Hillary wins, I will either move to Canada or I will vote for John McCain. I find her a very mean-spirited individual.
And this caller went on to say that she had raised money for Mrs. Clinton, that she had worked for Mrs. Clinton, but she just didn't like the way she conducted herself politically. Why isn't that a legitimate thing to have an opinion about?
Well, there are, in fact, a lot of folks who think, as the Chris Matthews quote that you do, it's only because of her connections, her party connections, her having been married to a former president, etc. There are some very purist women who say if she didn't leave him, she can't be a feminist. Well, as somebody who spent 20 years in a so-so marriage, I can say let's not be quite so judgmental of each other. That's not what feminism's about. But the interesting thing is that we're a young country. We're very ahistorical. We know very little about other countries. Being married to or a member of the family of a powerful man is usually, in most countries in the world, particularly but not exclusively in the global south, the way that the first ice-breaking woman gets into power. And then after that, it's more of an open field. So this is not unusual. This, even in the United States, as Willie Brown has just pointed out in his new wonderful book, Mayor Willie Brown, this has been the usual way that women achieve office. We're very much behind the curve on this. And as far as her Democratic Party connections and her fundraising abilities and so forth, Senator Obama was awfully glad of that when she devoted both of them to help get him to the Senate in the first place.
Okay, just one second. I just want to bring Andy Cohut back for just a second. Say, Andy Cohut, briefly, and we're going to hear from you again in a couple of minutes, is this kind of distaste for Senator Clinton widespread, or is it confined to kind of a few people, and if so, who are they?
In both parties, the broad base of voters do not hate either candidate. Hillary Clinton has a 80% favorable rating from Democrats. Barack Obama, 76% favorable rating. McCain has a somewhat lower favorable rating, but among the unfavorables, there's no sense of hatred. On the Republican side, it's a matter of Republicans being uncomfortable with his ideology, but that does not translate into the kind of vitriol you see on cable and among Republican activists. And with respect to Mrs. Clinton, white males do have a less favorable view of her, but analyses that we've done of people who said that they were voting on the basis of gender, men who said they were voting on the basis of gender, were actually voting more for her than men who did not. So it's a matter of men disliking her for reasons other than her gender. Now, I'm not saying that the extremists aren't misogynists, but I'm talking about ordinary people, and you just do not see that among Democrats.
We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we will have more on the politics of anybody but him or her and what's up with trading spaces. That's in just a few minutes. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll tell you about some changes at Trading Spaces. The once top-rated home decorating show has done some renovating of its own. And as usual on Fridays, the barbershop guys. But first, we want to continue our conversation about why some people seem to have such contempt for presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and John McCain. Joining me are Janice Krause, director of the Beverly LaHaye Institute, a think tank run by Concerned Women for America, Robin Morgan, co-founder of the Women's Media Center, a journalist and author of many books about politics, and Andy Cohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Andy, before we took a break, you were telling us that among sort of most sort of regular voters, they have high regard for all the candidates that we're talking about.
But especially on the Democratic side, Michelle.
Does it matter, though, when, say, important cultural figures tee off on somebody? For example, like Rush Limbaugh has made it very clear that he can't stand Hillary Clinton, and a number of sort of conservative talk show hosts have vilified her sort of for years. Does that kind of thing matter?
Well, on the cross-party basis, it may matter because Hillary Clinton's candidacy or Barack Obama's candidacy could become a basis for generating enthusiasm among Republican voters for voting, which has been lacking in this campaign so far. But among their own constituencies, you don't see it. I've got an interesting statistic for you. Among Republicans that we questioned last week, only 31% knew that conservative talk radio hosts are opposing John McCain. So their impact is vastly overrated. And the impact of the cable people who've and commentators who've taken off after Hillary Clinton is vastly overrated, given the fact that in exit polls, huge majorities say that they would be satisfied if Obama were the candidate or if Hillary Clinton were the candidate.
Janice Krauss, you wrote a piece that where you talked about the fact that you feel it's some of the voting for Mike Huckabee is a reaction to the, being told what to do, that voters don't like having sort of this the commentariat, as it were, kind of linking arms around somebody. You still think that's true?
Yes, that's very definitely the case. And while the grassroots may not be influenced by the radio hosts, it's very definitely the case around the Beltway. People inside the Beltway are very definitely influenced. They do have an influence, and that level of trust is very definitely absent among the movement conservatives. I think I'd like to address, though, the sociopathic women haters comment that Robin made. This is so typical of feminists, and the comment that she made about the way to pass the path to power is marriage. You know, this is the problem I think most people have with feminists and with their support of Hillary. No. If you are truly interested in empowering women, let's look at the women who are in places because they have accomplished something. And I think most women want the first woman president of the United States of America to be someone who's there because of her own accomplishments.
Well, the irony is, of
era of
she wouldn't have got the
hating women is
she did not have.
Okay,
that.
hold on, Janice, you've made point. Let's let Robin respond.
Thank you. The irony, of course, is that given the level of consciousness in this country, which is much lower than that, for example, in the global South, on sexism specifically, that she wouldn't have gotten that far if she didn't have those connections, as a great many women, by the way, left and right, as Janice well knows, in the Senate have. I'm not saying that that's the ideal way. On the contrary, I wish it were very different. But to get back to Andrew's more salient point, these are encouraging figures. And does it then mean, what I'd like him to address and Michelle to address, does that mean then that the disproportionate venom that is out there seemingly in the populace or is being poured into the populace is largely from, I mean, I know as a media person, I know that if it bleeds, it leads and that conflict sells. So is the anger and the venom disproportionately reflecting what isn't really there?
Okay.
And if so, what do we do about the media?
Okay, hold on. Let's Andy, answer that briefly, and then Janice, we'll get back to you very briefly, if you would.
Look, the American public, Democrats and Republicans, have a tremendous capacity to turn a deaf ear to the news media. I'll give you just some recent examples. Think about the kind of bad coverage Hillary Clinton was getting leading up to the New Hampshire primary.
Right. And
voters surprised us. They came out and they voted for Hillary Clinton. Think about how Barack Obama was seen as so far back he could never catch Hillary Clinton.
Right.
In point of fact, he caught Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the media doesn't influence public opinion, but the American public takes the media with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Particularly when...
Go ahead, Andy. Just final thoughts briefly.
Particularly when the commentary is inflamed and clearly incendiary. People look at such commentators and say, wow, what a point of view.
Janice, very briefly, give me 30 seconds, please.
The venom is that people feel that the Clintons have gotten away with lying, cheating, with selfishness in political contests with their opponents, and a sense of entitlement.
All right.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Obviously, there's more to talk about here. Janice Krauss is director of the Beverly LaHaye Institute, a think tank run by Concerned Women for America. We were also joined by Robin Morgan, co-founder of the Women's Media Center, and Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.